fourth chapter, 35th verse, Bhagavad Gita. But before that, we'll just do the Mangalacharan prayers, praying for Krishna, so that we can actually understand, we can realize the verses. And let's do page number one of the Bhagavad Gita. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubayascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chapter 4, verse 34. Sorry. 33. Didn't we do that last time? I thought we did it, no? Which verse are we on? 33 or 34? 32 we had done. Oh, 32 we had done last time. So let's take up 33 verse. Please repeat after me. Shreyan Dravya Maya Yajna.
Shreyan Dravya Maya Yajna.
Jnana Yajna Parantapa.
Jnana Yajna Parantapa.
Sarvam Karma Khilam Partha. Jnane parisamapyate
Jnane parisamapyate
Shreyan dravyamaya yajna
Shreyan dravyamaya yajna
Jnana yajna parantapa
Jnana yajna parantapa
Sarvam karma khilam partha
Sarvam karma khilam partha
Jnane parisamapyate Audience.
Shreyan
Dravya Maya Yajnyad
Jnana
Yajna Parantapa
Sarvam Karma
Khilam Partha
Jnane
Parisamapyate
Shreyan Dravya Maya Yajnyad
श्रेयान् द्रव्यमयाद्य
ज्ञानयज्ञा
परन्तपा
सर्वं
कर्माखिलं पार्थ ज्ञाने परिसमाप्यते श्रेयं द्रव्यमयाद्य ज्ञानयज्ञा परन्तपा सर्वं कर्माखिलं पार्थ ज्ञाने परिसमाप्यते
श्रेयान् ग्रेटर द्रव्यमयात् ऑफ मटेरियल पोजेशंस यज्ञात् दैन द सैक्रिफाइस ज्ञान यज्ञ सैक्रिफाइस इन नॉलेज परंतपा ओ चास्टाइजर ऑफ द एनिमी सर्वम ऑल कर्म एक्टिविटीज अखिलम इन टोटालिटी पार्थ ओ सन ऑफ प्रथा ज्ञाने इन नॉलेज परिसमाप्यते एंड ओ चास्टाइजर ऑफ द एनिमी द सैक्रिफाइस परफॉर्म्ड इन नॉलेज इज बेटर देन मियर सैक्रिफाइस ऑफ मटेरियल पोजेशंस आफ्टर ऑल ओ सन ऑफ प्रथा All sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge, purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The purpose of all sacrifices is to arrive at the status of complete knowledge and then to gain release from material miseries and ultimately to engage in the loving transcendental service to the Supreme Lord, Krishna Consciousness. Nonetheless, there is a mystery about all these different activities of sacrifice, and one should know this mystery. Sacrifices sometimes take different forms according to the particular faith of the performer. When one's faith reaches the stage of transcendental knowledge, the performer of sacrifice should be considered more advanced than those who simply sacrifice material possessions without such knowledge. For without attainment of knowledge, sacrifices remain on the material platform and bestow no spiritual benefit. Real knowledge culminates in Krishna consciousness, the highest stage of transcendental knowledge. Without the elevation of knowledge, sacrifices are simply material activities. When, however, they are elevated to the level of transcendental knowledge, all such activities enter into a spiritual platform. Depending on the differences in consciousness, sacrificial activities are sometimes called karmakanda, fruitive activities, and sometimes jnanakanda, knowledge in pursuit of truth. It is better when the end is knowledge. This 34th. Tadviddhi pranipatena.
Tadviddhi pranipatena.
Pariprashnena
sevaya.
उपदेक्षन्ति ते ज्ञानम् ज्ञानिनास्तत्त्वदर्शिनः Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. Therefore, the Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 3rd chapter, 19th verse says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly initiated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by the independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination of spiritual understanding, for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only one should hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master by nature is very kind towards his disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries become perfect. In the 34th verse, Krishna talks about the knowledge. Thank you, Madhuri. He talks about the knowledge and how material sacrifices are lower in status compared to sacrifices done in knowledge, which brings up this point about giving in charity to a person materially or through understanding, spiritual understanding. And spiritual understanding is much better. But the real question lies is, how can a person acquire such knowledge? That's the point. Because in the previous ages, all the particular stages of sacrifice which was described by Krishna in previous verses were performed. People would go do Ashtanga Yoga, so many processes, meditation and all those things. But really, do the modern man has time for doing all those things? But the need of knowledge is still there, because unless one gets that knowledge, one cannot cut the entanglement of birth and death or understand our own spiritual life. In this particular verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says to approach a spiritual master. This is a very... I would be doing an extreme and severe injustice to complete this particular topic in one class about the spiritual master. It's a vast topic. It's such a huge topic in itself. But since I have been ordered to speak, I'll speak a little bit. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, helps those who are sincere in their path to come back home, back to Godhead. In the conditioned state of life, every human being, animal species of life, is struggling hard to get out of this material existence. And when one approaches Krishna with a sincere faith in the heart, that, my Lord, I surrender unto you. I have given up this material life. I can't overcome it. In that particular state of genuine understanding, Krishna, who is situated as Chaitya Guru within the heart, he helps the aspiring candidate lead to a proper spiritual master, who is none other than representation of Krishna himself, the external Guru. So, Guru is a person who is, Sri Guru, he is the person who is capable of taking his disciple out of this morass of material existence. In this day and age, there has been a lot of news, good and bad, about the spiritual masters, mainly bad. Because many of the people, they come to promising spiritual deliverance, but unless they themselves are situated and qualified, they cannot help anybody to overcome the material miseries or take them back home, back to Godhead. The spiritual master is the one who himself is situated in disciplic succession. Because when one says, I am a guru, you should ask, who is your guru? Because in this verse it is clearly said, Krishna says that unless you approach a spiritual master, you won't get it. So how is it a person who has no guru can become a guru? It's not possible. The first qualification of a spiritual master is that he is strictly in the line of disciplic succession, following and serving his spiritual master. And it is true of every, even the material field. You are a lawyer? Oh yeah, I am a lawyer. So, who did you do apprenticeship under? Nobody, I am a self-made lawyer. Well, that example is somewhat crude. Sometimes it's applicable also, but it's a crude example. But in spiritual life, it's impossible. A person has to be under the disciplic succession, following the injunctions of the spiritual master. Otherwise, there is no question of faithfully transmitting the teachings of Krishna. Because the original course of religion has been described by Krishna, Dharmant Sakshat Bhagavat Pranidam. It is not anybody and everybody can manufacture one variety of dharma and say, okay, this is the ultimate dharma. No, Krishna already manufactured that dharma. And a spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession faithfully carries those teachings from one spiritual master to another. And that is the secret of knowledge, of receiving the transcendental knowledge in the chain of disciplic succession. A spiritual master, there are two types of spiritual masters. One is the internal Chaitya Guru, who is Lord himself. Another is the external or the Mahanta Guru, who is the pure devotee of Krishna. When one is sincere and genuine within the heart, then Krishna from within guides you to the proper spiritual master. Because some people, most of these people in this age of Kali Yuga are misled and cheated by so-called gurus. One may question, why is Lord so... it's injustice that somebody is being cheated. We should realize that based on our own sincerity, Krishna will take you to the proper spiritual master. If one wants to be cheated, then you will be taken to a cheated spiritual master or a cheating spiritual master who just says, give me some money, I'll give you a mantra, you'll be God in 6 months. Or I'll solve all your problems of life and death. Well, we should ask first question, if you are taking money to solve your problems, how is that you are going to solve my problems? Because the spiritual master, a pure devotee of the Lord, is not dependent on anybody except Krishna. So, that is the second aspect of guruship. But it is important, because Krishna says that unless you serve my devotee, you cannot approach me. Krishna says that the service of my devotee is greater than service of me. And when we approach spiritual master in all humility and render service unto him, Krishna is very pleased. And surely one gets the favor of Govinda just by serving his pure devotees as a spiritual master. Now I discussed about Chaitya Guru, who is from within heart the Lord himself, and the Mahanta Guru, who is the spiritual master. In the external spiritual master, there are two types. One is the Diksha Guru and the Siksha Guru. Diksha Guru is the person to whom you approach for initiation, whom you get the name of the Lord. Because when one gets the name of the Lord through a proper disciplic succession, then the name fructifies, or the name has value, and all it gives the desired results, which is love of Godhead. But if one tries to get the name directly on your own, it doesn't give the desired results. The example is that we have banyan trees, and banyan tree has a lot of seeds. But the seeds of the banyan tree, when they fall on the ground, they don't produce banyan trees. Those banyan seeds are eaten by a special type of bird. And when the bird, after it's digested it, when it passes it out, it falls on the ground, then the banyan tree comes. Similarly, the spiritual master, when we receive the seed of devotional service through spiritual master, that actually fructifies in our heart and becomes the creeper of love of Godhead. So it's, and Krishna is very pleased because when he, and very sure, because if you have a very big person, very, very big person, you can't directly approach that person. But you go through his secretary or through his servant, it's very easy. Here, I know, oh, what is it? You know, the big person will say to his servant, oh, what is it? You have bought your friend? Yeah, my friend is a very nice person. Oh, very nice. But if you try directly, Krishna is the supreme of all persons. You can't even see him. But a guru is a person who can actually take you to Krishna. And that's the test of a real guru. Another, once Prabhupada was asked, who is actually a guru? This question will come up. If I have to approach a spiritual master, who is a guru? Then Prabhupada asked one of his disciples, so who do you think is a guru? And the disciple said, who is he who is attached to Krishna most? And Prabhupada said, yes, that is correct. A person who is 24 hours serving Krishna is the guru. That's the only business. Sri Radhika Madhavayo Dapara Madhurya Leela Gunarupa Namna Pratikshana Swadlalalupasya Bande Guru Sri Charana Ravindam. That is the nature of Guru. That every second he is remembering Krishna. He is always absorbed. He is a pure devotee of Krishna. Or he is on that particular path. This is the test. And by approaching such Guru, serving menially without any false pretenses, then you become advanced in spiritual life. Very quickly, guaranteed. In this connection, we sing songs of Narottam Das Thakur, right? We sing a lot of songs of Narottam Das Thakur. So, in Narottam Das Thakur was ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take initiation from Loknath Goswami. At that time, Loknath Goswami was living alone in Vrindavan. And he was crying tears because very recently Lord Chaitanya and his associates had passed away. And he was living by, Lord Chaitanya had passed away and he was crying tears. And then Narottam Das Thakur, he was a prince from the kingly order. He went and he approached Loknath Maharaj, please give me initiation. He said, no, I am too fallen, how can I give you initiation? No, I cannot give you initiation. And so then Loknath, Narottam was heartbroken. He wanted to take initiation from Loknath Maharaj, but he refused. So that did not deter this prince from Bengal from serving his spiritual master. In those days, like in the modern world, there was no toilets. You didn't have a toilet right attached to your room. You had to go to some jungle and you had to dig a hole, or you had to just pass in the bare ground and then come back. For every single year, before Loknath would go to the forest, Narottam would be waiting to see that his spiritual master did his activity, and then he would clean after him personally. And Loknath Maharaj was surprised. Who is this that is cleaning after me? And one day, after he had done his activity, Loknath Maharaj waited behind the tree. And there he saw Narottam with his own hands doing cleaning activity of his spiritual master. That is menial service. Doesn't matter whoever you are, how rich you are, because serving the spiritual master in such a menial fashion, this is the secret of success. There is another question which may crop up here. What if I don't see my spiritual master? What if I am not in close proximity with him? What, I can't serve him day in, day out? There are two types of association with the spiritual master. One is when the spiritual master is physically present and you serve him. The other type of association is following his instructions. One is technically called the Vapu, which is the physical, and the Vani, which is following his instructions. So when one follows the instructions of the spiritual master, it is more, is sometimes equal to or even more than following or actually serving the spiritual master. So in that way, everybody can take the association of a particular spiritual master and advance in spiritual life. This is the secret of success. Otherwise, everybody is born in ignorance. Everybody is born thinking, I am this body, my mother, my father, my life. But the spiritual master is the one who actually gives you the knowledge how to get out of this material world. That is the first duty of the spiritual master. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan nagati kutopi. That by the mercy of spiritual, if the spiritual master is pleased, then God is pleased. If the spiritual master is displeased, then there is no progress in spiritual life. Because Prabhupada was asked one time, Prabhupada, we are not here. I mean, you say surrender to Krishna, you serve Krishna. But how do we know if Krishna is happy with our service or not? We are giving him garlands, we are making him nice bhoga. How do we know if Krishna is satisfied? Prabhupada said, if your guru is satisfied, then Krishna is satisfied. And if Krishna is satisfied, he quickly gives the mercy. Because if he doesn't give the mercy, then nobody can understand. Brahmaji himself says, what's that verse in Bhagavatam? 10:14. It's there. Thank you very much. Athapiteva padambujadvaya prasada lesha anugratayavihi janati tatvam bhagavan mahino. Thank you. This is the Brahmaji, he says to the Lord, and this is, you should realize Brahmaji is the supreme master of the whole three worlds, and he is the pakka pandit. He is completely, Krishna himself gave him the knowledge, and he is the creator of this world, and Brahma is supremely elevated personality. Here he is in Vrindavan speaking to a 7-year-old boy, saying that unless you give your mercy, athapi te deva padambujadvaya prasada lesa anugratayevi. It is like, even if one gets the shadow of a particle of your mercy, then one knows your truth, one knows truth about you, not the person who speculates. So this is the way one approaches a spiritual master, without trying to speculate, oh, maybe my spiritual master is like this or like that, and No, maybe he can do like that, maybe he can do like this. Maybe I can serve him like that. Maybe I'll serve him like that. This is just our own impression on spiritual master. It's just trying to please the spiritual master directly. One gets mercy of Krishna, and the knowledge becomes pure and perfect. So, thank you very much. Are there any questions, any comments? Yes, Mataji. Yeah. Yeah, the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult, right? Yeah. I think in the fourth canto, the Kumaras are speaking to Maharaj Prithu, and they say that when one goes or when tries to approach spiritual realization, there are so many paths, there are so many ways, there are so many scriptures, and one gets easily confused by what exactly one needs to do. This was also the question the sages at Naimisharanya, they said that there are so many books, and each of the Vedas, they give so many rules and regulations. And in this age, men don't have time. Please tell us the essence. So if one tries to go on a spiritual path on your own, one is baffled. The path becomes very difficult because in the conditioned state, we are trying to get something which is beyond our remit or beyond our reach. So it's practically next to impossible to understand spiritual realization on one's own effort. Therefore, we need the help of a spiritual master who makes it easy. Because let's take from the perspective of Bhagavad Gita. 6th chapter, Krishna says, one has to perform the Ashtanga Yoga. Really? Go to Himalayas? Put Kushagras? Stare at the nose, give up everything. Can I do it? It's the Lord himself speaking. And these are the words of Krishna. But the spiritual master is the one who, and if you try to do that particular aspect of what Krishna said, it's going to be very difficult. It's next to impossible. So the guru comes to actually give the right prescription for this particular age, to make the path easier. We were reading earlier before you came that this is... if you allow me to indulge, that's verse Nridehama Adhyam Sulabam Sudurlabam, page 279 in the Shloka book. That verse is beautiful. That kind of solves many problems. Yeah. Hridehamadhyam sulabam sudurlavam plavam sukalpam guru karanadharam mayanukulena labhasvateritam puman bhavabdim nathare sadmaha. The human body, which can award all benefit in life, is automatically obtained by the laws of nature, although it is a very rare achievement. The human body can be compared to a perfectly constructed boat, and having the spiritual master as the captain of the boat and the instructions of the personality of Godhead as favorable winds, impelling it on its course. Considering all these advantages, a human being who does not utilize his human life to cross the ocean of material existence must be considered the killer of his own soul. And the point I took up this verse is that if you have a spiritual master, because if the human body is a perfectly constructed boat, let loose at sea, it can stray any path. Even on the spiritual life, there are so many paths, there are so many stages of realization. And the conclusive truth can never be got unless one approaches the spiritual master. So it's next to impossible. It's a difficult path if one tries to do it on its own. One best example is Maharaj Dhruva. He was a great, supremely devotee. And as we all know the story, Uttanapada was his father, and his stepmother insulted him with very harsh words. And Dhruva was terrified, mortified at heart. And he said, I am going to get such a position which is much greater than my father, and I am going to do that. And he walked into the forest. And Narada Muni, he came across Narada Muni. You're a 5-year-old boy. You shouldn't take the words of your mother so seriously. That's okay. You can just go home. And Dhruva was so determined. So very determined. He said to Narada Muni, if you can help me get what I want, then talk to me. Otherwise, have a good day, sir. That was his essence. And he performed severe austerities, extremely severe austerities, which were impossible to be performed by common human being. We can read the description. The first few months he just ate fruit every other day, and the next few months he just drank water every 2-3 days, and the third month just lived on air, and in the final month he even stopped the air. And the whole universe was choking up because of his severe austerities. Now Krishna came, Lord Vishnu came, because the demigods were after him. He said, we are not breathing. What's happening here? He said, don't worry, this boy Dhruva is performing very severe austerities. I'll go pacify him. You can go home. So based on demigods' request, when Lord Vishnu comes and meets Dhruva and gives him all the benedictions, the material benedictions, even such wonderful benedictions that the Dhruva planet won't be destroyed at the time of dissolution. And everything is wonderful. After Lord Vishnu leaves, Dhruva is not satisfied. This is a great mystery. Why was Dhruva not satisfied? Because he asked for a kingdom, he got a planet for himself. It's like, no, I want a house. No, I'll give you the earth. Take, rule it. So something like that. But the point was, Dhruva was feeling bad because he could not get the conclusion of meeting Lord Hari, which is pure devotional service unto him. He realized, what did I ask? Here was a personality whom nobody can see even after severe austerities. He came and asked him for a kingdom. He was feeling bad. So the point of the matter I'm trying to make is that unless one approaches spiritual master, the conclusions of the scriptures will be lost. He approached, Narada was there. It was not that Narada was not approached. But the right perspective or the right attitude is a service to spiritual master. You get the ultimate results of pleasing or serving Hari. You had a question? Yes?
I was thinking that it's a person who is totally surrendered, taking up to Krishna consciousness and taking up initiation and surrendering to the spiritual master is a wonderful person. But who would be a better person if a person is striving hard but is not able to do everything that is necessary to be a disciple and stay like that and still aspire to become perfect? Or is a person who feels that, well, I probably never become perfect, and then it's better I take to the disciplic succession, and then it's okay if I make mistakes.
Okay.
Not being able to follow all the regulated principles. Who would be a better person? person who thinks that I will not be able to follow it anyway, so it's better I take take to the discipline class, or a person who thinks that, no, I need to perfect myself first, and then take to...
What do you mean perfect yourself? I kind of get the gist of the question here. Well, the best approach would be to present oneself in whatever position it is. If one has decided on a spiritual master, to approach that spiritual master, telling that my master, I can't do everything which you are asking me. So, if you consider me fit, accept me. Because if you accept me, I'll be purified. On my own, I can't be purified. So, when Rupa Goswami... Now, they are exalted personalities. And Rupa Goswami, here, Rupa Goswami and the Sanatana Goswami, they are two brothers who approached Mahaprabhu. And they were in such a situation that they were serving Nawab Hussain Shah, who was a meat eater. And they were exalted personalities, but the external situation they were in was not the perfect Brahminical. They were outcasts. They were rejected by the Brahmana community for taking up to the service of Mohammedans. And they considered themselves low. And then Rupa Goswami fell flat. Mahaprabhu, this is our situation. Please save us. And Mahaprabhu said, you will be saved. So in whatever situation one is in, if one approaches spiritual master, then guaranteed, all the impediments will go away. So, but because from what I understand, if there is no possibility of a person becoming perfect, what's the hope? Just approach. Helplessly fall before Krishna and Guru. Say, this is what I am. Please give me shelter. If you are not giving me shelter, where will I go? Thank you. Yes, Prabhuji.
So in the beginning you mentioned that a guru has to follow the disciplic succession.
Yes.
But in the history, there are the gurus like even our own Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he comes from Madhava tree, there were some differences, perhaps. He doesn't really 100% follow his guru's following. Even Ramanujacharya, although he came from Shankaracharya tree, he actually had differences, and he actually almost started his own philosophy, the Dvaita Ashram, Dvaita Vishishta Dvaita. So, in this case, if such prominent acharyas have at least not 100% followed their guru's instructions. And if in today's world we see somebody who is not following 100% his or her guru's instructions, how do we...
I am not clear. Where did you read that Mahaprabhu didn't follow his guru's instruction?
He is coming from Madhavacharya, Madhava Sampradaya.
Okay.
But now we have another Sampradaya here called Gaudiya.
No, it's the same Sampradaya. We are called Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya. So there are four Sampradayas. There is Sri, Kumara, Rudra, and Brahma. Any four are bona fide Sampradayas. Now, anybody who takes, when I said that the Guru should be in disciplic succession, they should have taken initiation in one of those four Sampradayas. I do not know very detail about Ramanujacharya, but later you can see that for the act of disobeying his guru and giving the mantra to everybody, his guru himself praised him later. His guru didn't curse him. Did he? Later, do you know what happened? The guru praised, yes, you are greater than me because you are showing compassion upon others. So at that point of time, they are empowered personalities. So when they do steps, we have to take it with a bit of salt, seeing that what was their mood in which they did what they did.
So actually the question is, part of it, which is, if in this modern world I see somebody who actually doesn't follow 100% his or her guru's instructions. By the way, is it different with female gurus also, or it's all male gurus only? Anyway, that is
a different,
yeah.
We'll get into it later.
But if somebody says, oh, I am, actually there is a case in this modern world, in the Mayavadi world, if you see the Art of Living Foundation, he actually doesn't follow his guru's 100% instruction, whatever. I also don't know it. But there can be cases even in ISKCON, for example. And how does one then make a judgment there?
Please pray for the person who is not following. The point is this. that in the material world, there are tendency to fall down. That should be neither taken as a shelter to perform your activities, which are against the rules and regulations. At the same time, one cannot be just outcasted just based on if one is able to do or not do. Because the reactions will be there if you don't follow, both for your guru and for yourself. So when Prabhupada was asked the same thing, one of the disciples asked him that, you know, he just took initiation and he's not following any rules and regulations. And Prabhupada was very harsh. He said, then he's an animal. If you don't keep up your word. So ideal situation would be that you train yourself before you actually go and get initiation from a guru. I don't know the specifics of the situation you're talking, but from an external perspective, show compassion and pray for that person, and internally that person, he or she should realize that they have to step up and perform the rules and regulations. There is no way around it. Yes, Mataji.
This is from Sotudeva. Maharaj was actually explaining
the... Yes, please.
Maharaj was explaining the lecture about Ramanuja
Charya.
Mike. So, I think he was actually mentioning that Ramanuja Charya as a kid actually went and, he was, I can't remember the name of this guru, he was actually an impersonalist. He actually started his kind of education with him. But then there was a shloka that he mentioned, that Nityanam Kundari Kaksham. He was explaining the shloka and Ramanuja Charya was crying, because he was explaining the impersonal way, and Ramanuja Charya gave a different explanation to this whole thing. And he said that Krishna is really a person, and he's describing his personality. And that this is the same time that Yamunacharya was already there, and Yamunacharya was going with his disciples. So he kept on praying to the Lord that Ramanuja Charya should be out of this impersonal thing soon. And later he actually becomes one of the successors of Yamunacharya. And so he, as a kid, I think he was like, how people go to different places. But when he heard the impersonal thing, he immediately gave his own explanation. And so I'm not really sure if he was in the disposition of Shankaracharya at all.
Yeah.
It was just as a student that he would have approached.
Nice point, actually. In this example, we have Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami, when he started, he went first to Banaras. And he studied under Madhusudan Vachaspati, who was a Mayavadi. And he studied under him for so many years and then went to Vrindavan. Later he came back, he studied Mayavadi so that he could smash Mayavadi. That's the reason why he even wasted time there.
No, in both the examples, Ramanujacharya, so he actually differed with his guru. So number one, the point is one can differ with one's guru.
What do you mean differ?
As she told already, Yamunacharya was his later guru.
Right.
The first guru actually almost tried to kill Ramanujacharya.
So and then you call him a guru who can kill the student. That's the point.
No, he was a guru. He took initiation from that person. So
right.
He was a guru.
Right.
And then he left him afterwards. So the point is...
That's the point. If you take initiation, then you have to render minion service.
No, he's saying he already took and then
I don't know the details. I can find out. I can do the research and I'll let you know. But
when Maharaj was talking in the lecture, he said that as a kid, he joined into, I can't remember the name of this guru, he joined into that school, but as he was explaining, as he started listening to him, he was so much, even though he had not heard anything about Krishna consciousness, about personal aspect of Krishna, but he was trying and he was trying to explain the whole thing in a different way. And that's the time he said that, this person is going to be very, 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 he's going to change Shankaracharya's philosophy totally, and we have to be very aware of him. That's the time he actually loves to hear him. But then Yamunacharya already is also thinking on the same means, and he says that actually Ramanujacharya should come and join me, someday. But that happens only after Yamunacharya leaves this morning. And this is there actually in the 2004, 2000, the whole description. And everything about Yamunacharya, everything is there, and when all the devotees went to Panchakosha.
Actually, to answer his question, the first guru was never his guru, right? So, because Prabhupada states in one story Sukracharya, who is that Maharaj? Bali Maharaj, Guru was Sukracharya. So when Vamandev appeared, Sukracharya asked Bali Maharaja to not give whatever Bali Maharaja, Vamandev asked. So on that account, Bali Maharaja rejected his Guru because he is checking his service to Vishnu. No one can check service to Vishnu. So Bali Maharaja rejected his Guru at that time because he was non-bona fide. So even though he was following him as Guru at that point, since he knew that he was non-bona fide, he rejected his connection with the Guru. So he was never a Guru in the first place.
Okay, so in that case it means a Guru, every Guru is not a Guru. It has to be bona fide.
Exactly.
No, Prabhupada was asked, no. Here this point. Prabhupada was asked, so who is a good Guru and bad Guru? What's a good gold and bad gold? Gold is gold. So if you can't simply say good Guru, bad Guru. The Guru is one, who one leads you to God. And if his person is not acting in that capacity, he is not a Guru. So one should be very clear about who Guru is. That's it. There is one Guru and Sri Guru. And who has certain qualities. Otherwise, that person is not a Guru. He has to be rejected. Prabhupada also says in Bhagavad Gita, a person who is not acting in the bona fide way has to be rejected as Guru. So it's not like a blind following. Again, in the purport, Prabhupada says, blind following is condemned. Oh, he's my Guru. And whatever way he acts, he's my Guru, is a blind following. That's not correct. The disciple should be very intelligent.
That's a good
thing. Okay, it's there in the purport. I think we'll stop here. Getting late.
Just a second.
Okay. Both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. So that when one approaches a guru, a student has every right to judge, to see who guru is. Because if you go to a diamond store and you want to buy a diamond, if you don't know what diamond is, you will be cheated. Yes? Yes, no? So you need to know what the quality of diamond is, what is the ratings are, what is the clarities, carats and whatever. You need to know, get equipped with that knowledge and then go and find a guru. Or go and approach a guru, not find guru. There is nothing like finding guru. It's not like we find a lottery or find something on the road, no. Guru is like, it's a very deep and very, very like special aspect of one's spiritual life. In fact, it's the whole aspect in the beginning. No question. Any other comments? You have?
Does it apply to the Shiksha Guru also? What is applicable to Diksha Guru?
So,
are we supposed to render the service and kind of
Guru is one tattva, whether it is Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru. So if the Diksha Guru is only one where you take initiation, Siksha Gurus can be many. Yes, each and every of the Siksha Gurus must be rendered menial service. Guru is, that's what it is, somebody who imparts that knowledge. So if one, you accept somebody as your Siksha Guru, yes, one has to render such service.
Siksha Guru could be many.
Yes. Yes, based on how many you can accept or how many can you serve on your own. And at different phases of life, one may have different Siksha Gurus. So. But none of the Siksha Gurus have any differing opinion. Again, the quality comes in. Again, the intelligence of disciple comes in. What is this particular person after? What does he want? Is he like situated in the platform of spiritual life that he can help me to progress along? So, yes, Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru both have to be served.
Siksha Guru would also be in the disciplinary succession?
Yes, he has to be in disciplinary succession. Because if he is not, then he might impart ideas which are different from what actually is the real knowledge coming down. So, yes, ideally he has to be in the disciplic succession, or at least be adhering to the previous acharyas, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was conducting the Mahaprakash Leela for 21 hours. And then Murari Gupta came, and Murari Gupta was, he was severely chastised by Mahaprabhu, that you come here, you attend discourses, you stay with us, then you go and you associate with Mayavadis. This is like worshipping my feet and then taking a big rod and beating me. So what sort of Siksha Gurus you have is also, it doesn't work that you can go opposite way. Does that answer your question? Any other questions or comments?
I have a question.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Guru may take us to spiritual world. So Guru himself will follow. So we have taken initiation from one person. So we don't know about his future life, our future life. As for the current moment, we take initiation from one person. So we should be following his instructions. So we are still worshipping him as a Guru and we are following our regular principle. Suppose in future if the Guru falls off. So then Guru should take us to spiritual world. The Guru falls down, what about our situation? So we are strict follower of our Guru, his instructions. Nothing wrong from our side. He is the person to take us.
Right, I
if he falls down, what about our situation?
And this is the real situation, it has happened in the world.
Because if the material world, as you said, is very, very strong, at any point of time, we don't know what will happen.
So what would be your response? What is your, what will be your attitude, or what will be your first response to this? Should I abandon?
It's not qualified, right?
No. What should I do? What would be your response to that? Should I just abandon the spiritual life? It's bogus life. Let me just jump back to material life.
No.
Or
it's not abandoning the spiritual life. The guru falls on. I don't want to give up my life for material things.
Then you go and pray to Krishna. You beg at the lotus feet of Krishna. Cry for Krishna, what is has happened, and give me guidance. And Krishna will give you guidance. Because Krishna is somebody who can never fall from any platform. And he is Guru from within. So we take shelter of, in this case, Siksha Gurus will help. We take shelter of Krishna to kind of say, what is happening? And give me guidance, give me light. So when one cries out for Krishna, that can be a great opportunity actually to cry out for Krishna, that I want to really serve you. Please send me to a right guru. And Krishna will take the knee for. Our faith, it's like if you have a flame and then there is wind blowing, two things can happen to that flame. Because of the wind, the flame can become stronger or the flame gets extinguished. So in the situation of life, when we face some are, and as you said, that are real, real, like, tough situations of life. Apart from death, apart from job loss, or some other, these count among there. And in that time, we can see that this is a test by Krishna, so that he has kind of given me this test so that I can further progress. As you said, there was no fault of yours, but it has happened. So, yeah, ideally it shouldn't happen, but it has happened. Take it as a mercy of Krishna and then beg for Krishna, you know, what's this happening, and he will give you more, because seeing your sincerity, he will give you better.
But as Krishna said, without Guru we can't reach Krishna, right?
Correct.
So if at the time of death, my Guru has already fallen
off. Okay. Alright.
So, then how can I reach Krishna? Then I should approach a proper Guru.
Okay.
So I don't want to give up my body without Guru. Since I have left everything material life.
Right.
So I have given more importance on spiritual life. Krishna is the whole of my life.
Right.
So why should I give up my body without having a Guru?
As I said earlier,
I want to add something to that.
Let me complete my comment and then I'll come back to yours. There are two types of gurus. The not exactly two types. The guru tattva is, Krishna is the Chaitya guru, or the guru from within. He's always guiding us. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogantam yenamam upayantiti. That Krishna says that I give the knowledge to that person who is faithfully following me. So internally Krishna is the guru, and externally he is leading to your guru. So Krishna is always there as your guru. at any point of life. So he has never left you, he'll never leave you. So these things are temporary, or they are happening. So he will never leave you. So you will never die without a guru. Krishna is always there with you. So does that answer your question? Yes, Prabhuji.
Just a thought on this is that, is it that because of, say, because of your past karma, you had to face these situations, Krishna, and you had to face the situation, so it came to, it had to happen, and this is what is getting rid of your karma, that you have to go through that situation of, you know, feeling distressed, and then again going on spiritual path. And that is why, because of your past karma, you, the guru was not actually a guru, because a bona fide guru can never fall down, according to Srila Prabhupada.
Right.
A bona fide, if he is a bona fide guru, he can never fall down.
Correct.
Right. So that is why you got into association of a guru, which was not a bona fide guru in that sense.
Nice point. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu, I'm sorry, you had a point.
We joined this conversation while it was already on, and I don't have the complete background, but one thought which verse or where it is, I don't know, but from my past, what I've heard and learned is Krishna, when Arjun was going through the, you know, question and answer phase with Krishna on the battleground, you know, Krishna was telling him all the answers and whatever Arjun had. But till the time Arjun said that I'm too confused and I give up, Krishna, I give up to your mercy, please tell me, guide me. And that's when Krishna told him the true meaning of life and everything. So, and in that respect, Krishna did say, you know, without the guru, you cannot find your real path in life and your real meaning of life. And that's why we look for guru, and, you know, without guru, we cannot get it, but if we do not have a human guru, and which you did say, you know, Krishna is there as a guru, so, you know, have faith in him. Whatever we are looking for, the association is everything that we have now, or what we feel is important, is also by Krishna's grace. And if we do not find way, or we do find way, it's going to happen with Krishna's grace. It comes through one guru, you know, in human form or not.
No, not human form or not is not question. There is a physical guru you need to take shelter of, a sadhu you have to take shelter of.
What I heard from my guru was, before I selected a guru or I gave in to say, you know, I am your follower, at least what I heard from my guru was, whether you have or you don't have a guru, you know, if you believe in Krishna and you surrender to that, you know, that's what you have as guru. If you do that and then, you know, you see Krishna through a human form in guru, that's really good if you do get it. At least that's how it is important to have guru, but in your mind, if you do not find a human,
no, that we do not agree, because Krishna's, otherwise there was no point in Krishna saying his own words that you have to search for a guru. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. If you don't have a guru, then whom will you serve? Whom will you menially render service to? And in that way, this will just become mental concoction, that one can make, okay, this Pacific Ocean is my guru. Or say, this sort of mental concoction will come about.
It is Krishna, what I am saying is guru. If I do not find the guru in the human form,
but
I do believe in Krishna. And
that is true, but to know the mind of Krishna is impossible. That's what I said in Bhagavatam, that people have tried to know your mind, to know your plans, it's impossible. So a guru is a person who is going to guide you back to Krishna. By rendering service to guru, you will satisfy Krishna. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutupi. So unless one serves a guru, one doesn't know if Krishna is satisfied or not. Because Prabhupada was asked one time, Prabhupada, you came to my dream and you asked me to take LSD and I'll become self-realized. This is what one of his disciples told Prabhupada. Once Prabhupada was approached, a disciple approached Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, I saw you in the dream. You said I should take LSD and then I'll become self-realized. And Prabhupada said, that's nonsense. That's Maya speaking through me. That's not me. So the point is that there are so many mental concoctions that come about. If you just accept Krishna as Guru, you don't know whether your mind is speaking or whether Maya is speaking or who is speaking. There is no clear way. The path becomes very difficult and bewildered.
Obviously, there's one conversation, I don't know who is speaking with Krishna, also Lord Krishna, but they asked Krishna, who is your disciple? And then Krishna said, the one who says that they're my disciple is not my disciple, but the one who says he's my disciple, of my disciple, then that one is actually my devotee.
Thank you. Nice point. I don't remember the words or the context either. Yes.
Probably the message I got from what Prabhuji said was that, maybe my interpretation was that the goal should not be that you should search for a guru. Your goal should be you should go for Krishna. Now, the other way around, it could be interpreted with the way the discussion is going, that you should first search for guru and then Krishna will, you will get Krishna, right? But the goal should be other way around. You go, your end goal is Krishna, search for Krishna, the Guru will automatically happen if you're sincere, if the search is sincere, you will Krishna will provide you the Diksha Guru. That's the other way of understanding what Prabhupada was saying.
Yeah. If you are sincere, yes, Krishna will lead you to a proper bona fide guru. You're right. I think we are getting late.
So in this room, whosoever doesn't have a guru is not sincere, and whosoever has a guru is sincere.
I didn't say that.
I'm not sincere enough to get a guru yet.
No, it's just a matter of time. I said, this guru is not something which is like a deadline guru. I have, May 30th, I'll get a guru. No, you have to be sincere. Krishna will guide you. Eventually, he may take you, he may give you this life or next life. Brahmanda Pramite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Beej. One is sincere, Krishna will show. When he will show is up to him. You can't force Krishna. But your sincerity he will see and then he will do it. So, no, that is not correct that those who have gurus are sincere and vice versa. It's just a matter of patience. Exactly. You got it right. Therefore, you're sincere. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for coming to the class. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.